Welcome to The Liberating Secret. My name is Sylvia Pierce, and I'm glad to be with you today. I'm doing an exciting Bible study today, so get your Bibles out. Go verse by verse with me. Hopefully, we can really come to some great conclusions here, because I'm going to go through the famous Romans 7 scripture. You know, there are so many people that say, well, the reason we know that we cannot really truly be delivered from the old nature in this life is Romans 7. Romans 7 proves that you can't be delivered of the old nature and we have it the rest of our life. Well, I'm here to say it proves the opposite. I have never been satisfied that we're meant to stay in Romans 7 the rest of our life when Romans 8 is the greatest victory chapter in the Bible. And why would God give us Romans 8 if it's only like a carrot on a stick and just to tease us to the hereafter? You know, you hear so many songs about we'll all be free when in the hereafter, in the glory. We're all going to know, and we will know more of Jesus. There's no doubt about it. But you know what? We can know a lot here on this earth. And I said this some time ago. I stopped looking into the future when I left a certain teaching that always taught me that you're not going to get anything until after you die. You're not going to get anything until after you die. When I left that teaching, I said, nope, I'm going to see everything that God has given me, and I want it right here and right now. And that's not, and I always tell the Lord, I'm going to be pretty greedy. God wants you to be greedy because he wants you to know, he wants you to move in and really know the truth of what's Paul struggling with in Romans 7. And basically the title of this lesson, and this is lesson 18, by the way, and you will find these posted on our website, The Liberating Secret, along with the link to these actual programs. So this is lesson 18, and the name of this is Deceived Self-Life. And underneath parentheses, acting as if the human has its own nature. Well, that's exactly what we Christians do. We act as if we still have the old nature because we do not know the truth that we don't have the old nature. We've been delivered from the old man. The old man is dead, gone, buried with Christ, and we've been resurrected as a new man. That's why it's important to know the death, burial, and resurrection and know our identity in the death, burial, and resurrection. Actually, that's the gospel. We're not hearing the gospel enough. That's what we do in The Liberating Secret is bring the gospel out. What happened? When Jesus said it is finished, he meant it is finished. I did it all for you. I'm your substitute. You couldn't have done it for yourself. You couldn't die to yourself. You can't be buried. You can't rise to yourself. You see, that's a lie. I did it all for you. Jesus is saying that to you today. Jesus is saying, I did it all for you. Can you receive it? Or are you going to make me a liar? Because that's exactly what we do when we cannot receive the fullness of what God has already provided for us through the death, burial, and resurrection, through the power of the cross. The wisdom of God is foolishness to men, but yet the foolishness of God is wiser than men, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians. What's the foolishness of God? The foolishness of God is that we would be redeemed by an old rugged cross, that the founder of the Christian faith had to die. Our own founder, you would think he would be elevated to some kingship level without dying. That's really what Satan wanted to happen to him when he offered him all the kingdoms of the world to partake of that before he went to the cross. So, no, our founder had to go to the cross, and our Lord and Savior had to die, because the only way I can be delivered from sin, from death, from Satan's reign inside my members, inside me, Satan reigning in my spirit, soul, and body, and being under the dominion of the world system, the only way I can be delivered is be in Christ and be delivered and have a new man, which is Christ in me, be my new identity, who I really am. And so Paul, a lot of people say, well, Romans 7, Paul wasn't even a Christian. I don't believe that. I believe he absolutely was a Christian. Actually, I think this happened in Arabia. And maybe some of you are asking yourselves, well, what is Romans 7? Well, turn to it. And we're going to read through it, and I'm going to interpret it as we read through it. So, but Romans 7 is when he was fighting with himself, trying to figure out how he could conquer his sins, and always falling short of how to conquer his own sins. But he came to a great conclusion, and that's the conclusion we're going to come to as we read it. But where was Paul? Well, you see, Paul was born again when the light shone on him, when he fell from his horse, and the light shone down, and he saw a vision from heaven, and Jesus said, "Why do you persecute me?" Which is another point that the body of Christ really is the bodily form of Christ. We're one person with him. Okay, but why do you persecute me? So Paul was born again. He went into Damascus, and Ananias, laid hands on him. He received the Holy Spirit, and he went straightway to the synagogue to preach that Jesus was the Messiah. Well, immediately the Judaizers came to kill him, and he ran away from his tribulation, and was let out of a basket over the side of the city. And that's exactly how the women escaped. So that was pretty embarrassing for a great apostle to escape like a woman, because women were always inferior in those days. I think we've graduated a little in our day. So, but he was pretty embarrassed that he ran from his opposition because he didn't have the power. How can I have the power? He had the power as a lost person. Actually, he was a general of a great army of people, and he led people all over the place. He had all kinds of authority and power, telling them what to do. Actually, he had Stephen stoned, and so. But now, as a Christian, he doesn't have any power. He doesn't know what to do when opposition comes, because he was just a babe in Christ. He needed to have some lessons that he had to learn only alone with the Holy Spirit. Because he says this in the book of Galatians, that I'm not taught of man, I'm taught by the Holy Spirit. That's the greatest way to be taught. That's how I've been taught. I haven't been taught by man. I haven't been to a seminary. I'm not bragging or thinking I'm inferior either. I'm just saying the Holy Spirit has taught me what I know. And I declare what the Holy Spirit has taught me. And I think people need to take responsibility for their own learning, because a lot of what we're hearing defeats us and puts us always in a realm of being condemned. So we need to look into the Bible and search the scriptures and be a Berean and see if what God is saying. So Paul in Romans 7 was probably historically driven out into Arabia. Now that's the same pattern of Jesus. Jesus was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to discover his human helplessness and dependence on his Father, and that's how he functioned and lived. So unless we are living by the Spirit and by the life and power and nature of the one who lives inside of us, we're pretty dysfunctional. So God has a pretty dysfunctional family, because we're not functioning rightly or properly. We're functioning independent from who we are. And so we have to have a new revelation of who we are in Christ. So he was driven out into Arabia and stayed there 3 years before he came back, went back to Damascus and stayed there another 3 years in the power of the Spirit. So he had to understand himself. And while he was there, he went through some torment. I know in my life, at some point, I'm going to give you my testimony exactly of the time in my life that I had my desert Arabia experience, my dark night of my soul, which is common in the body of Christ. I just feel like anybody that's maturing in Christ will have this particular time. I say it was the greatest time in my life. At the time, I thought I was near to death. I thought I wanted to commit suicide. I was so depressed. But yet, now, I mean, that happened like 33 years ago. So now I say, and I have been saying ever since God has brought me to the light of who I am and anointed me to preach this gospel to the body of Christ. You know, I say it's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Actually, my book, The Treasures of Darkness, was written because I saw the light. Hallelujah. So what did Paul discover in Romans 7? Well, he had a problem. He had some inner problems. He could not stop coveting. Well, what's coveting? Wanting something that's not yours, but you want it anyway, and you can't stop obsessing over it because you think you deserve it, you think you should have it. Actually, it's a temptation by Satan. Okay, so what did he want? Well, this is my theory. I'm not saying that this is, I'm not signing my name to this in blood, but I think he was out in Arabia, and before he was a Christian, he was a Pharisee. They had the top status in all the community. They had the richest places that they lived. They were well respected. They had the greatest reputation. Here he is, a Christian. He has no reputation. He has no power like he had before. I mean, he has no authority. He has nobody under him. And there he is alone. And he's thinking, what in the world's wrong with me? Why as a Christian am I so weak? Why can't I live the Christian life? What is wrong with me? And why can't I stop coveting the things that I used to have? And it says that a Pharisee had to be married, so probably he had a wife, but probably she wasn't alive because there's no mention of her at all. I'm just supposing that, but because all the Pharisees did have wives, but maybe he didn't. I don't know. It's not really written. But so we don't know what all he was coveting. And actually, coveting is a form of lusting after what you don't have and obsessing over it and not being able to conquer it. Now, that's one of the commandments, thou shalt not covet. It's the 10th commandment. So you can almost hide that commandment if you want to. You could live a secret life of just hiding that sin, but he could not stop doing it. So that drove him crazy because he was a perfectionist. He wanted to be right. And he said it's in the book of Philippians, he said, before I was a Christian, I kept the law perfectly. So he considered himself a perfect person, keeping the law perfectly. Now that he's a Christian, he can't keep it at all. Well, basically, the devil gave him power before he was a Christian to do good things because he was living from the knowledge of good and evil. He was the good side. He was the Pharisee, the good side of the evil tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now that he's in Christ, this is the tree of life. But how come he doesn't have any power? How come, where's his reputation? What, I'm ashamed. How come that God has stuck me here? He's called me and now he's stuck me out on the desert. What's wrong with me? Why can't I live the Christian life? This is exactly what everybody asks. I asked that question, and I'm not going to jump into my own experience yet, but I intend to. So he says in verse 7 of Romans 7, what shall I say then? Is the law sin? Is the problem the outer law? And so what he's saying is, I've got to find out what the problem is. Most of the time we find out what the problem is by the process of elimination. So if I didn't have the outer written law telling me not to covet, maybe I'd be okay. But he says, now wait a minute, the law was given to me in the first place. It's not bad. It's good. The law is good. But as soon as the law came and told me not to covet, here I am out in the desert and all I want is everything that was provided for me before I was a Christian. You see, how come I don't have it? I'm in a desert. I hardly have anything to eat. I have to go search for water. Where's the provision? Where's the outer things that are going to cause me comfort? Maybe if I didn't have the law, then I wouldn't be wanting all those outer things so much. But then he has to reason with himself, and he says, wait a minute. In verse 10, he says, and the commandments which were ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For the sin taken occasion by the commandments deceives me. And by it slew me. Now, I want us to understand something right now. Commandments are sin by itself has to be a person because only a person can deceive you. So only Satan deceives you. So now I've told you this before, that the word sin is rendered two ways. as a verb and as a noun. And here in Romans 6 through 8, it's rendered as a noun. It's a person. So when he says sin, he is talking about Satan. He's saying sin has deceived me, because it has to be a person that deceives you. And actually, it's rendered a noun, that even the theologians will say that, will agree with me on that one. For sin, taking occasion by the commandments, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandments holy and just and good. So it can't be the law that's my problem. So that's one thing he eliminated. It can't be the law. And he says, was then what that which is good made death unto me? He's confused. God forbid. For sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me by that which is good. It's working death in me, because the more I try to do it, the more it kills me and the more it deceives me. So anytime you're trying to live by any outer standard, and the law was written on tablets of stone that was outer, it wasn't from the inside. See, we're meant to live holy from the inside, but he was trying to live from the outside. I think most Christians are trying to live from the outside. What do you think I ought to do? What do you think I ought to say? How should I act? How should I be? You see, always looking outside of ourselves instead of looking to Christ within. Lord, I'm trusting you to be my life. You caused me to walk in your ways. I'm trusting you. I'm living by your spirit, by faith in you. That's a whole another realm. And to move from one realm to another is very radical. And so this is a very radical time for him. And he's trying to discover it by eliminating what isn't the truth. And so he decided law can't be wrong, because it was given to us as a schoolmaster. He brings that out in Romans. So, but it's doing its work in him now, because the law keeps shouting at him not to do it. He really is supposed to have victory over this sin, but he doesn't know how to do it. He doesn't know how to get victory. He doesn't know how not to covet, see? He doesn't have the power not to do it. So then he says in 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. So people say, aha, see, he's still got the carnal nature. No. In Romans 7, he is in Arabia, and the whole time he's there with this dilemma going on inside of him, he is believing a lie. He's not believing the truth about himself. As long as I'm believing a lie, I'm going to act like I still have the old man, because I'm still believing that I have a nature of my own that's able to conquer these sins, you see. So as long as I believe that lie, see, as a man thinketh, so is he. So as long as I believe that truth about myself, I'm going to act from that lie, you see. It's a deceived self. He is not a carnal man. It says in Romans 6 that he's dead to sin, alive unto God. He declares that himself. But in his experience, he has not fully understood that, because we operate and live from what we know and what we understand to be the truth. And if we've lived with a lie all of our life, that's where we're stuck. And this is where he's stuck. So, but he's got to find his answer. He's not going to be happy living in Romans 7 the rest of his life. He's got to find victory in Jesus. And here it comes. So then he says, I don't understand myself. For that which I do, I allow not. I'm telling myself I don't want to do this. I'm a new creature in Christ. I don't want to do this. For what I would, I do not. I don't want to do the things that I'm doing. For what I hate, I do. Now that's where most Christians are stuck, right there, doing the things that they don't want to do. Knowing that it's wrong, knowing it's evil, but not having the power to overcome it. But trying to overcome it with their own flesh. Trying to overcome it with their own self. You see, it's still a deceived self-life, believing in myself, my own self-power. You see, we have all these how-to books out there telling us how to overcome and basically how self can conquer self. Well, I'm sorry, it cannot. And because the old self died with Christ, the new self is in Christ, is Christ. But I'm still functioning. I'm dysfunctional. This is God's dysfunctional family, functioning as if you're an independent self able to conquer your own self. And what a dilemma. For then I do that which is not, I consent unto the law that it is good. So here he comes to the second point. The first point is the law is not my problem. He eliminated that. Then is it me, the self? Well, you know what? In myself, I don't want to do these things. He wanted a person that's lost wants to be lost, wants to do the things of the evil things. He wants to do them. But a born-again person, this tells me that he is born again, because a born-again person does not want to do those things. I mean, it goes against them. It kills you when you do those things. My husband always says that. He loved being a sinner, but the minute that he found Christ, all those sins were very distasteful. You don't want to do it. So he's discovering this. My goodness, maybe the problem is not my human self. There's something else in me, deceiving me, making me think that there's something wrong with me. What is it? What is it? Then he sees in Romans 7. For then it is no longer I that do it. It is not the human self that's doing the sin. This is where people say, I still have the old nature. This says it is not the human self that's doing it. Not I, but sin dwells in me. What do you mean? Doesn't that prove we have the old nature? No, it does not. Because it says in verse 23, but I see a law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity in the law of sin, which is in my members. What is your members? Your members is your soul and your body. That's not who you are. You are a spirit being, you see. So he's seeing me as spirit. I'm not doing it. But there's, in my members, there's this sin that's still operating there. Why is it still operating there? Basically, because I'm believing a lie. I'm walking out a lie. Now, all right, look at Galatians 2:20. It says it wasn't me that does the righteousness. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. That's the positive. This is the negative counterpart of Galatians 2:20. It's no longer I. That proves that the human is nothing but a neutral container of the life of another. There it is. There's the biblical proof that you are nothing but that you have no nature of your own, and the nature of the one that lives inside you is the one that's doing the doings. Okay, now, Satan is in his members. It does not say in his spirit. It says in his members. What's your members? Your members is your soul, in your thinking, and in your body. I mean, that's why our body dies, actually. That's why our body gets sick. Okay, what do you mean sin and or Satan there? Satan in my thoughts, making me think that the creation is God, and I am able to conquer my own sins and temptations. There it is. See, the strength of sin is the law. How does sin get power over us? It's because we're still under the law of I'm going to keep myself. I'm going to try real hard not to sin. I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to improve myself. I've got to live by constant self-improvement. So I've got to get a new how-to book on the self can keep itself. That's a lie. You're a helpless expression of Jesus. That's who you are. Now, it's a radical act of faith to take a leap of faith into that truth. And we're going to talk about that next time. I want to talk about my own personal experience when I went through this. And I want you to see. All right, let me finish up with this. He finally sees that he can't do it. After he sees, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And he sees that Jesus already did it at the cross. Romans 8 says that. Romans 8:2 says, the law of spirit and life has set me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is the flesh trying to live the Christian life. The law of spirit and life is the Holy Spirit living his life out through me. And the spirit and life has set me free from the law of sin and death, that trying to overcome and conquer my own flesh, temptations, and sins. And then he says this, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he's starting to praise God that he's already delivered. I say the only way to be delivered out of Romans 7 is to know that you're already delivered. And I'm getting to a climax here, and I see I'm running out of time. So I'm going to finish this next time, because I want to go over this again. I want to reiterate some of these things. I want to read to you some of these scriptures, because this is too important to go by too quickly. And then I'm going to give you my own personal testimony of what happened to me as a poor, wretched person trying to live the Christian life in my own strength, and how the victory came, and how that was my calling to really bring this liberating secret to you. So thank you for joining me, and may God richly bless you. Goodbye. I hope that you've been blessed by today's program. These programs have been brought to you by Christ Our Life Ministries, based in Louisville, Kentucky. If you would like to know more about us, please check out our websites, www.theliberatingsecret.org and www.spiritbroadcasting.net. The Liberating Secret is our literary site. We offer many articles by many authors, and I have my own writings on it as well. You will find a bookstore where you will be able to purchase many of my own books and booklets, as well as other authors who also teach the truths of liberation. We have an online monthly newsletter that you might want to sign up for. Check it out. You're going to be blessed if you do. Now for our other website, which is the Spirit Broadcasting Network. All of our past TV and radio programs are being broadcast on this website. If you have a favorite program, you might want to find it here. If you are interested in any events such as conferences, retreats, or home meetings that we are conducting, please check out our calendar that you will find on both of our websites. We have an annual conference here in Louisville, Kentucky in May. It is always held the weekend after Mother's Day. We have great fellowship, great teaching, and great music by Ron Block, and he's from Nashville. Twice a year, I teach a woman's retreat at Pawleys Island, South Carolina. Women, don't wait to sign up for Pawleys. You will love it. If you would like to have a meeting in your area, please email me at sylviap@theliberatingsecret.org. And thank you for joining us, and may God richly bless you. Goodbye.